Okay. I'm going to turn this way. Homework assignment number two is up. You need to do all the problems, okay? And basically, these problems are very hands-on. It's asking you to calculate certain things that we talk about in the class, okay? So that you kind of know how to do this. And I would say that, you know, the final examination, we're not going to have a midterm. I decided not to have a midterm. We're going to just go for final. And the final examination will be very, very similar to these kind of homework problems to test you whether you understand the algorithm, how to look for things. Okay, so make sure that you understand this. This actually is quite short, okay, right here. I think you should be able to do it in less than an hour. These are very, very straightforward, okay? So there are four problems and there are sub-problems, so go ahead and do them. That's one, first announcement. Second announcement is that the programming assignment is here, okay? Now there is a programming assignment and this is done in the kind of the style of ACM or ICPC, so you should know how to do this. So what happened is this, the problem statement is right here, so it will take you some time to read this, okay? Understand what we're trying to do here. It's not that difficult, but you need to read this. Then what happened is that the input will be given to you in a file. Okay, so be read into the program, then your program is going to run, and then output something. And what we do is we just test, look at the output, and see whether your output and our output are exactly the same. If they're the same, that means yours is correct. Now we have many, many cases that we could test. Okay, so it's not just one particular thing. The input, for example, the first line is integer n, which is the number of vertices, followed by n lines. Okay, so each file basically is one test case. So we might give your program five test cases and see whether they run, whether they all get the right answers. Okay, the problem is up there. Here is the input, and then here, the output, there will be n lines of output, and each line contains, n lines, and it will contain the normalized between the central value of that particular vertex, vertex 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on and so forth. So for example, this is a 3, okay, and this is basically an adjacency matrix, okay, 0, 1, 5, and so on and so forth. And then by this is one file. It could go up to, the input could go up to 10 by 10, okay? 10 by 10. I think the, one second, I thought it was 10 by 10. Oh, yeah. Wait a second. I thought we specified this. Hold on. Okay, this is restricted. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was a... This is actually not... Yeah, actually there is no restriction n by n, but don't expect that we're going to give you a huge matrix. Okay, so what you need to do then is to read this file, okay, and then output 0, 0.5, 0, meaning note there are three vertices, 1 and 2 and 3, and these are the betweenness of that particular thing. Okay, so what you could do is you could do this in C. You could and what happened is that later on today's tutorial, Tom or somebody this week and next week will tell you how to actually read in this file and give you a very small example on something else on how to do this. Okay? So we're going to write some simple programs on C, okay, and show you how to actually read these files and then output some kind of computation so that you could actually take those things. We're going to put those things on the website, that you're going to take those things and then do it, okay? Now, both of these things, so one homework set is for you to do calculations, very straightforward, hand calculation, and that's actually a very simple thing, just to get your feet wet, okay? To actually learn how to calculate one of the functions. For your project, on the other hand, you could do, as I suggested before, one possibility is to do, say for example, if you want to do, you could even take this as an example, right? You could come up with three or four different variations on how to calculate this. The first version may be a very brute force way of doing it. The second version is improved version. And the third version is really the, you know, trying to be as optimal as possible. So you could talk about how you actually did these three versions and how large of a matrix. What if the matrix is huge? How can you deal with that? Maybe you have one version that deal with sparse matrix of large size, right? And the second one deal with just sparse matrix, okay? And so on and so forth. That's one possibility of doing it. A second possibility is to implement all, if not most, of the functions that we talk about in the graph mining, in the link analysis, and so on and so forth. Why? Because then we could use that in the future. We could continue to improve those routines for toolboxes or whatever, right? So other people could use it too, okay? So these are the two things. And I said before, you could also analyze social networks, okay? Take something, crawl, and then analyze what we have done using those routines, okay? So these things are actually due 2 weeks from yesterday, okay? So you have 2 weeks to do it. The programming will require some time, so please try to do them as quickly as possible. They're not difficult, as long as you follow the instruction, and if you have questions, talk to the TA. Please talk to the TA, okay? Any questions on these? Any questions? Okay. I know your first homework said it's been submitted. The very guy actually has come back, but I haven't checked it yet. Okay. I know that you have not submitted electronic copy. A lot of people didn't even submit a hard copy. Okay. I'm going to see whether I will be able to actually download the whole thing and pack it. Now, the problem is this. I should have told you that for your submission, right, it's probably best to have your student ID dash home HW and then the number of the homework, okay? So that we will know who is the student ID plus the homework, what homework number, okay? So I think that I need to specify that in the next one. For this one particularly, do your student ID dash HW 2, okay? And then for the programming part, you just need to submit to us your student ID HWP for homework programming assignment 1, okay, and then so on and so forth. Okay, does that make sense? I think I'll put that thing on the website so that you will have some idea. In fact, I might revise this this PDF file so that you will know exactly how that is done. Okay, you can do it in group. I don't know, but remember, you're doing group. You know, you're great share. Okay? Okay? Any other questions? Any other questions? No more? Questions about the homework? Okay, let's talk a little bit about project. Any feedback on the project? Because you need to write a proposal next week. Okay? And in fact, it's due, not this week, it should be due, let's make it Tuesday, a week from today, at the end of the class. Make it in the beginning of the class. Beginning of class, so that you don't have, you know, people don't come to class because they want to do this. Okay, so it will be due, your proposal, not this week, but next week, okay, at the beginning of the class as a group, okay? Now, we'll put out the specification, but the specification is very, very simple, right? Really, no more than 2 pages, okay? And don't write big. Have margins around, you know, regular thing. What I want to know is this. What your project is all about, okay? In what relationship to what we have talked about, what we will be talking about, how is your project related to this course? Okay? And give us some ideas of what you want to do. Like, if, for example, you want to implement a collection of algorithms, fine. You might not even implement them. You might collect them. But make sure that they're all in the same language, right? So you might have to do some transformation. From if you could get Python, good. Then you could get everything in Python or everything in C, okay, and so on and so forth. And remember this, at the end of this this semester, we will be having a presentation. Okay, so you need to turn in a report on your project and a presentation at the end. Okay? So, but anyway, we'll put those things down much more clear on the web within these few days. Okay? And any questions on those things? Okay, so you got about a month and a half to do this. Okay? That's plenty of time. That should be plenty of time. Okay. Let me see. What else? There are some other administrative things that I need to take care of. Oh, yes. It is very crucial. In the first week of November, November 2nd, we are inviting a guest speaker from Microsoft. He's going to come here to talk about human computation. Okay, it's a Monday class. Okay, it's a Monday class. Now, because the fact that I have to be driving him back to the conference that he is here for, so that we cannot do it at 12:30, because if we do it at 12:30, we will not be able to get back to the conference site, which is at the airport, the Asian Expo. Okay, I need to get over there actually before 2 o'clock. Okay, so the only thing that we could do really is most likely 10:30. Okay, so what's going to happen is this. We're not going to have class on that day, November 2nd, I believe. Okay, we're not going to have class, regular class at least. But I would ask all of you to come at 10:30 because it's going to be a seminar, okay, for 1 hour, basically. That's it. If you can't come, what I'll do is I will tape it. Okay, I'll tape it using a video tape recorder. Okay, I'll have to get his permission and so on and so forth. I'll tape it and then put it on the web. Okay, but I do hope that you could come because that actually, I will be taking a roll call there, at least a mental roll call, to see who's there and who's not there. Okay, so most likely will be 10:30 because 10:30. To 11:30, then we'll have some time to eat and then run back to the conference site. I need to be there that afternoon because we have a workshop there to do. Okay? So is that okay with you, November 2nd? Okay. Now it comes to even the tougher part because November 9th, the following week, it turns out that I may not be able to do something because I'm being invited to do a panel, a forum on social computing, okay, in China. So we may have to, again, postpone that class, not cancel it, postpone that class until a later time, okay, when we have a makeup period. But we'll have to see that. I'm still making arrangement on that. So November 2nd, November 9th, are two very crucial things. November 2nd, there is a seminar at 10:30 that, you know, I'd like you guys to attend. If not, look at the video. November 9th, okay. I hope to have a video. If I don't have a video, then we'll do something during the makeup week, okay? At least for that Monday. And Tuesday, I'll see whether I could get out of that. Okay. Let me see now. Anything else? Oh, by the way, I am giving you things in terms of the resources. I hope that you are aware.
Okay, let me see whether I could.
Whoa,
this is interesting. I didn't ask for this. Should be this one. Okay. Okay. Any question about what I just said? Any questions? Okay. Oh, not this one. Kind of interesting. Not this one either. Not this one. Okay, so please, I talk about information retrieval, okay? Here is actually a very good resource. Here's a book that you can actually download, this book, okay, for free. This is very modern. Pardon? Okay. So I do teach this course, and I hope that I'll be teaching it again next year. But you can see that there are a lot of indexing construction, evaluation, vector space classification, clustering, hierarchical clustering, matrix decomposition, and so on and so forth. Okay, web basics, web search basics, and so on and so forth. Actually, I took some material from link analysis and web search and so on and so forth from this book. Okay, so it's good for you if you want to learn something about information retrieval and the web. There is a difference. Okay, information retrieval is typically is more structured than web information retrieval or web search. Web search is really, you work on really unstructured data. Web page, not very structured, okay? Not very structured. Okay, so anything else? Let me see now. The podcasts are here, okay? So you could do that. I'll be putting this one up again, for example. In fact, I probably will. I should probably put the dates on it. Yeah, this will be probably better. Okay, I'll put the dates on it. I'll go back and change this. So podcast will be a date and so on and so forth. So because, for example, I didn't do it last week. I mean, yesterday. I did it today. So it will be there. Okay? Both of these homework, again, homework 2 and homework programming, HWP 1, is all due on that. I forgot to put the project proposal due right here. It's actually the beginning of the class, Tuesday, next week. Okay, so make sure you do that. Okay, so give you a heads up. This one, we have a guest speaker. We'll move it up. This one, I'm going to move it back. In fact, we don't have this week, right? This is the last week. This week actually is presentation week. Okay, so Tuesday we'll reserve time that we could all sit down and everybody will do presentation on here. Okay, so make sure you do that. So you've got about month and a half, okay, until November 30th. Month and a half, 2 months basically, to do this. There should be plenty of time for a good-sized class project for two people. I think it's good, okay? Although we haven't talked about this, if you want to do something in social games and human computation, you're welcome to do it. In fact, I will try to give you a platform to do that. Okay, we have a platform for social computing. I'll try to set this up within the next week or two, that you will be able to actually, play around with this. Okay, anything else?
Good.
I just want to show you something. Let me see whether I can find something interesting about social media. I'm kind of a technology student, so I thought it would be good to just show something. This is a city in Korea. This is recent events.
The future is by taking you to a city of the future. It's a place where everything is right at your fingertips. Driving and shopping, even a trip to the beauty salon, is a totally interactive experience. Digital reporter Joo Hee Cho traveled to the real-life city right now in South Korea.
On this reclaimed land from the sea, twice the size of Manhattan, construction is moving full steam ahead in Incheon. The master plan is to build a model birthplace for future cities from scratch with state-of-the-art wireless technology. Mayor Ahn Sang-soo leads the project that will finish in 2020. This is not a vision, but reality, he says. We are installing wireless connectivity into every aspect of our infrastructure. That means the birth of an intelligent city. Street lights will automatically recognize cars or people approaching. Bus stops show real-time information with maps that navigate and recommend the best route for your destination. Street advertisements are no longer just ads on billboards.
Oh, I just flip it over, turn it around. Wow. So basically, I can see all sides of this mobile phone.
Or virtually experience using the product. And if tempted, a purchase can be made right at the spot by just touching the screen. This beauty zone will change the way women shop. Take a picture, see what you might look like after lip injection, and search for the best plastic surgeon in town. Try different hairstyles or browse for that perfect earring. Home shopping will become interactive, where viewers can ask questions to the host or discuss the product with other viewers on screen real time. Experts here say once these functions are in use, home shopping will turn into home auction channels where customers drive the price of a product. All these features will take time to reach the United States. For now, this is only feasible in condensely populated urban areas, and only if there is massive infrastructure investment.
Order your food now. Here's your menu.
One thing is for sure, the future won't be fun without robots. Waiters like this will serve and take orders, but won't be asking for tips. Joo Hee Cho, ABC News, Incheon, South Korea.
Okay. This is the way of the future. Give you a glimpse of what is happening. You know, I do look out for a technology thing. I do have a lot of videos, so we'll take some time to just reflect upon. What you could actually see this is that there are a lot of social networking stuff in here, right? Or you're able to actually video with one another and asking for consultations or advice or things like that. And the wireless is mobility, all that stuff. That's also another aspect of social computing that we will talk about a little bit later on. Okay, mobile learning, mobility learning, and so on and so forth. So there is really a host of things that that deal with social or society and as a whole on a macroscopic level. And I think this one really truly illustrates that they are in fact not shunting away that the cities will be even more crowded in the future, but they actually trying to make it better and easier with technologies. Okay, so that your life will be supposedly be even more, will have a better life, basically, in these kind of scenarios. Okay, so here's one. Any comments on this? No? I thought it was quite interesting. So, let me see now. Let's go on to what we have. Okay, so homework. Okay, so, where were we? Okay, we talk about this, we talk about that. Okay, okay, let's start by doing this. So basically the traditional information retrieval, like what we did yesterday, right? If I give you a query word, say Irwin King, it actually matches Irwin and King in all the documents and then return them, right? Using vector space and so on and so forth. Now, with the web, when you have links, citations, and so on and so forth, right? Things can begin to change. Now, and one simple algorithm is what we call the in-degree algorithm, right? The very simplest thing to do is to do what? In addition to all the document that you can match with this, what is that one thing that we can actually add on very simply so that we could rank these things? Simple. How many points actually pointed to you, right? What we say yesterday was this. If I point to you, what do I actually give you? I kind of consider you as an authority. I'm giving you the face. I'm giving you the quote-unquote the recommendation where I cite you because you're the authority, right? So in this very simple in-degree algorithm, this is very, this is a heuristic, right? You rank the pages according to the popularity or the in-degree of the page. The problem is this. How do you find the in-degree? How do you find the in-degree? Finding the out-degree is easy. How do you find the out-degree? Easy. You look at that page. You do a regular expression search for URLs, right? Right? Valid URLs, links. Then you have out-degrees. But how do you find the in-degree of a particular page? Can someone tell me? How would you do that? Anyone?
You have to read half the page.
Ouch. Okay. Brute force way is this. You try to play God. You want to read every single possible page, right? Whether it's updating, can we actually do that? This is impossible to do that because people are updating all the time. And there's no way at any instance that you could take a snapshot of the web anyway. Impossible, right? You're always crawling, you're always doing things, right?
Well, actually, I think when you go to a website like from A web page to B, you can, the browser will kind of tell the B page like, you actually redirect from page A, right?
Yeah. You could actually do a backlink, right?
Yeah.
Could go back, right? Wouldn't it be nice if you actually could say, show me all the pages that are pointing to me? Ah. Would that feature be worthwhile feature? Let me ask you this, right? Have you ever thought about it? Would it be nice to have a feature to say who are actually the top pages point to me? That would be nice, right? Then I will actually know who, why do they have the interest of pointing to me? Well, point to a particular site, okay? To calculate this, one, you could do a brute force, which is kind of impossible. If that's not possible, engineers, how do we do it? What's the next best thing? Next best thing is what? What?
Just have a list of the website that link to you very often.
Link to you very often, but how do you find often? Let's just say that you have this 100% of the web. Okay? Even Google only crawl maybe 40%. Right? So what do you do? Okay? So one thing is to look at only the 40%, right? With the thing I have. Because I could construct an adjacency graph, can I? Right? Then I could count out what? The row or the column? For adjacency graph. What do I do? Count on the row or the column? Which one? The columns, right? Because IJ, guys, it doesn't seem like you guys are kind of awake. Right? Here's your adjacency matrix, right? Here's I, here's J, and this one says that connects the I to J, right? Right? Okay? So this connects to this. And this is one, so if you have another one that is connecting to it, so you basically just read the column. I'll tell you everything that you actually are connected to this particular page, J. Right? Okay, if that's the case, a couple of things you could do. You cannot do the whole web page, but obviously you could do it with what you have, right? What is another refinement that we could do if we could do this? Okay, so the whole web page is 100%. Okay, you could only do this 40%. Okay, what can we do about the 60%? Can we do something about that 60%? What do we do? Huh? Great. Estimate. How do you estimate?
Okay? Sampling. Some kind of technique, right? You can sample this. Okay? But what is interesting is that when you say estimate, how do you actually go about estimating it? Is it that the whole web, so now you're talking about structure, because you shouldn't do a uniform sampling, right? Because there are different structures. I'm a academic. My name will probably never ever occur in some places, but it may occur in academic circles, conferences, so on and so forth. So if I want to sample, you want to do something, I really need to know the structure and the characteristic and the properties of what I have so that I could actually sample, right? So I could say that this 40%, by the way, is this 40%, you know, uniformly sampled? Is it particular area? Okay, and so on and so forth. Okay? What do you think? Is it uniformly sampled or is it particularly focused? What do you think? Particularly focused, right? What do you think Google will actually spend time to try to do a uniform sample? They wouldn't do it. What would they focus on? Most popular place that make money, right? Actually, most popular place may not make money sometimes, okay? Like P2P, right? They don't make any sense from P2P sites. But hey, they must still do that. But what I'm trying to say is that Google, obviously, they will look at a particular structure, substructure of the whole web, right, doing this, okay? So you could actually do this in-degree algorithm. And that might give you a better ranking capability. So when you have a list of documents, right, it will use this in-degree algorithm that you calculated or estimated, and actually it will give you a better thing. Okay. So the PageRank algorithm is basically assume that these are hyperlinked documents, right? Similar to academic papers, they cite one another. So when you have a web page that links to another page, basically it's saying that I am citing this particular site. Think about it. Academic papers. You have a list of references at the end, and they cite papers and so on and so forth, okay? But there is a difference. Can someone tell me that something that is different from the academic paper? Now, you can say that in most cases it is, but there is one small subtlety that is different from academic papers. It's about monotonicity. Monotonicity. Okay? Anybody know this word? You probably do. Okay? What we say that, you know, citation is like a link, right? But what is the difference between academic paper and the web pages? There's one aspect. It's very, very different. Monotonicity. Basically, is what? You have any idea?
Always have like a
neutral tone. Neutral tone? Nope, that's not it. Okay? Well, monotonicity basically is not monotony, well monotone, okay? Monotonicity basically is one way. Okay, you could only the information only increases in one way, and so on and so forth. Okay, academic papers, right? If A reference B, do you think that B could reference A? No. Right? Do you understand? I reference your paper. It's probably very unlikely that your paper will reference my paper. Why is that? Because there is a temporal sequence of the academic papers. Okay? But the concept there is beautiful because those papers who actually are referenced will be there, right? And this thing actually, citation and things like that, you can only increase. It doesn't decrease. But the web links could appear and disappear. Okay? So there are differences. There's similarity and also there are differences. The similarity is that they use, again, hyperlinear citation. The difference is that one thing is that there is a temporal ordering for academic papers
And it's not so with that. Second thing is that for citations, you can only increase your citation count, okay? It's very hard to take out knowledge. You can always add knowledge to it. It's very hard to take out knowledge. Okay, what does the take out mean? Does it mean it's opposite of the knowledge, or is it emptiness of that knowledge? Think about that, okay? Now, in link is what we call authorities. Now, our links are called citations, okay? In links are called authority. So people pointing to you, people are actually saying you're the authority of something. You point at something else, you're actually giving that authority to someone else. That's a citation, okay? Citation, in fact, gives a better approximation of the quality of these pages. In the academic paper, it turns out as well as for web pages. Well, what happened? Okay. So, don't look at the words. Now, I'm going to go ahead and explain what this is. Okay? Imagine that we have equal amount of money right here, right? Okay? Equal amount of money right here. And I have a money, and the only thing that I could do is to actually give that money out to those people I feel that are authority. Okay? So in this classroom, we all have, say, $100. Okay? The way that we give out to people is very simple. If I think that there are two people that are authority on something, okay, then I'll give $50 to one person and $50 to another person. If I think four people are, then I'll give everybody $25 for each of the person. Okay? Very simple. Very simple, right? So what you do is this. Okay, so in here, we're going to play that game. So everybody, think of people that you say you could give authority to. Okay, everybody start with $100. Okay? So I give everybody $100 in the beginning, and we do this. Okay? What do you think is going to happen after 10 iterations? After 100 iterations? What do you think is going to happen? Could someone tell me? Well, if you're not authority, and nobody points to you, guess what? You get zero, right? Immediately after the first step, you spend your money, nobody points to you, you're gone, right? You spend $100, okay? You're gone, okay? Now, if you think that you are authority, right, guess what? Well, money's going to come, right? Money's going to continue to come. Do you need a cycle actually in there to make things actually go around? Possibly, but it's not necessary, okay? How long does it take actually for this system to stabilize? Well, depends on your initial condition and your connection, right? If we have a very simple linear link, so I link to you, you link to him, you link to me, and so on and so forth, right? What would be that system? Well, I give you 100, you give him 100, you give him 100, you give him 100, and so on and so forth. It's going to come back to me. Right, in a ring. And immediately, the ring stabilizes. Everybody is 100. Next thing is 100. Next thing is 100. No change. You stop. Okay? That's a stationary point for that particular system. Right? So you stop. Okay? Now, if that's not the case, if I point to you, you point to someone else, and so on and so forth. Right? Depending on the distribution, depending on your outlink, depending on how much you give, right, you actually will have differences, okay? Look at this. What is this? Okay? This basically says this. This is basically people who are pointing to you divided by how many are going out from that particular page. So earlier I said, if you point in two people, you got to split the $100 into two persons. If you have three people, you split it into three ways. You got five people, you split it five ways. This is what this is. So this is your in degree, T1 is the page that is pointing to you, divided by C is the number of out degree of T1. right?
So $100, if you have started, everybody started with $100, you first, you divide it by the number of odd degrees because you got to distribute it evenly, okay?
Then plus others that are pointed to you. If this is zero, if nobody is pointing to you, what would your answer be?
Your answer will be just 1 minus D,
okay?
Now, there is a, I'm going to talk about this factor. Okay? Don't worry about this factor yet. But just this, if there's nothing point to you,
your page rank is
zero.
Because none of these will be there, right? Okay, so there's another term. Why do we actually have this damping factor? What is this damping factor? Okay? It turns out that, you know, if I were to ask you to do an experiment on the web, okay, and you probably, this is kind of the behavior that you have it too. You know, do you browse the web by keep on following a link and link and link and link and on and on and on and on? Probably not. My way of browsing is, you know, open up, you know, a couple of sites, CNN News, you know, LA Times, you know, a couple of things, right? And then I'll follow the article. Once I get bored, I go back, and I read the sports. Go back and read the international news. Go back, read the finance and things like that, right? Okay? So I follow something to some extent, and then I start a new search. Okay? Does that make sense? Is that your browsing habit? Is that your browsing habit? Is that your browsing habit? It's kind of like that. You don't continue to just follow one link and link and keep on going. Sometimes you will go back. Sometimes you will actually jump to another page, right? What is the ratio of that? Anybody? How many pages do you actually go down before you actually perhaps start jumping to another page? What do you think? All right, I'm just an estimate. It doesn't have to be accurate. What do you think?
Four?
Yeah, you kind of read maybe 3 or 4 pages down, right? And you say you got bored. I'm going to start another topic. Does it make sense? 4 pages? Okay? 4 pages. Okay. Google actually uses what? This D is actually 0.85 or 1.5. 0.15. So 0.15, 0.85, the ratio is what? 6? 5. Approximately 5. Okay, on average, what Google is saying is this. Every 5 times you read 5 pages, then you actually jump to another thing. So this ratio is 0.5D, and this one is 0.15. And this tells you the probability of something that's being reset, start. Okay? Okay? So let's recapture this. Okay, the page rank calculator is defined as follows. We assume that page A has pages T1 to TN, which points to it. So these are the in degree of page A. Okay? So T1, T2, T3, and TN. These are pointing at you. Okay? And the CA, or CT1 in this case, is the number of odd degrees. So remember, I need to divide up. Okay, how much you have, I need to divide it up by the number of odd degrees, and then I sum it up. And by golly, okay, what is this particular equation? Well, I can actually rewrite this, okay, into a summation, right? Summation basically is PR of TI, T1, 2, 3, over distribute this. Okay, sum it up. So this is very straightforward, right? Okay? Is this an iterative solution? Okay. It actually turned out it's very interesting. This turned out to be an eigenvalue, finding the eigenvector and finding the eigenvalue of a particular system problem. Okay? But let's do that a little bit later. Let's come back to this, right? So now you have this equation. How do you do this? Very simple simulation, right? I start with everybody with 1. your page rank is all, when I say one is basically, I would say that you begin with the summation of the a row equal to one, right? So that's not true. You could actually start for every page is one. It's okay. Because in the first step, you're going to divide that into the number of our degree already. So it's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Okay? So if you assume that everybody is one, right? The first step is that you calculate the first page. First page, and you do this. One divided by the number of our degree for that particular page, and you sum it up. Okay? We actually probably should have a normalizing one. Yeah, I think there should be a normalizing factor. Should there be a normalizing factor here? Actually, no. We don't need a normalizing factor. Do we need a normalizing factor here? No. This is actually self-normalized. What is the maximum value of this? What is it? If everybody is all pointing to one node, n, okay? So you could actually normalize it by divided by n, but that's okay. So okay, the maximum value for one particular node is n. The minimum value is zero. Zero is very easy. Nobody points to you. N is everybody's pointing to you. Okay, eventually you do that. Okay. When do you stop? If this is an iterative solution, you iterate. When do you stop? When what? Yeah, when do you terminate? When do you stop calculating this? You don't want to go ad infinitum, right? When you stabilize, when does it stabilize? When there are no changes from one iteration to another iteration. Okay? And that's actually a stationary point. And you will stop. When you stop, then you actually look at this and say, well, this is it. And that's the page rank now. Okay? Very interesting of this. Why is it? Let's talk about a couple of things that we could actually improve. Okay? Can someone tell me what can you improve on this? Are there things that you can improve?
The estimation of the 60% distance got involved.
The estimate of the D?
Or what? Said that, like, Google only has 40%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How about the rest?
Yeah, so you could estimate better, right? To have a better page rank. Okay. What else?
The C function is going to be zero, right?
The C function? Yeah, C function can be zero, and C is zero. Oh, C function cannot be zero. Why? Its minimum is one. Why? Yeah, you will not be included in here, right? Because it's not pointing to anybody. Okay. If it's in here, it has to be at least one, pointing to you. Okay. It could be actually greater than one, right? But, okay. Look at this. What can we do about this equation? Somebody? Guys, Google is a $95 billion company because of this equation right here. Okay? Everything subsequent to this is an improvement of this equation. Okay? That was it. And the greatest thing is this. Look at it. Does it require any content processing? Not at all. It's only link-based. It has nothing to do. Actually, you do need to calculate the content, right? So if I give you Irwin King, what I'll do is I will find those links, those pages that have Irwin King. But I will look at their page rank score and rank them accordingly. So it may be that there is an Irwin King that contains only one Irwin and one King, but that has a higher PageRank score that better than a document that contains 10 Irwin and 10 King in there. And that will be actually, Google will put that one Irwin and one King higher than the 10 and 10. Okay? So that's a beauty. Can someone tell me what we could do with this? What other thing can we do about this equation? Anyone? Better estimate is one. That's good. What else? What else? Ah, that's good. You could actually see this a little bit different, right? Come on, there are only a finite number of changes you can make, right? So one thing to do is initial value, right? Is every page created equal? Turns out it might not be, right? So should I give everybody $100 to spend? Or it may not be. I should give maybe bigger guy $1,000 and get other people $1 to spend. Does it make sense? Right? So that will be the initial things that we can actually change. Okay? Initialization. Anything else? Okay? I guess that initialization can be a factor also. It's probably will be here somewhere too. Okay? Yeah?
Does it matter what kind of initial value you give to each of the pages? I thought it doesn't matter because like... it will become stabilized eventually.
Okay, good. So let me ask you this now. This is very good. If I give you initial value of 1, 1, 1, 1, everybody's 1, versus I give you some that is higher, some is lower, do they actually go into the same value at the end?
Your tutor say in the tutorial section.
Would it? Would they go in the same value? May not be. What do you think? Should be? May not be? What do you think? Yes or no? Actually, it's kind of funny, right? If just I'll give you an example, right? Counter example. If just three people, you point to you, you point to me, I point to you. If you start with 1,000, you start with 1, I start with 2, right? What would it be? We will be going to a cycle, right? You will be giving him 1,000 first time. You'll be giving me 1, I give you 2. And the second time, you give me 1,000, you give me that, and so on and so forth. So actually, it will stabilize. But that value will not, it will be... what we call a basically periodic, right? With a period that kind of go around. Okay, you want to avoid those. Okay, so avoiding those, if I give everybody 1, 1, 1, that actually could do it. That's one way. Okay. Does that actually settle into a thing? The answer is actually it does. So so for you, you will see 1,001 and 2 every 3 times for you. Exactly the same. For me, exactly the same. And that is actually settled. But what would that value be? What would the page rank value be for any of the page? So is it practical to actually give different values? Or can we actually give different weighting to the page? Does the strength matter? I'm not touching the initial value now. Okay, I'm touching the link between. Would that work better?
Yeah.
Yes?
Like there's some link on the page, but people never click on it. It doesn't just make link with less importance.
That's interesting. What if the out degree, right? You could actually have proportion to out degree. You could actually have three links to the same page too. You can have four links to you. I only have one link to you. I have three links on my page to you. I have four links to your page on my one page, right? So proportionately, that there is a difference. Okay, that might work, and that might give you a different result. That would give you a different result. Giving the same initial condition. Okay, that would give you a different result. Okay? But this is a very simple thing. I think that you could actually, I've seen it on Excel. You could write a simple program, a simple Excel thing, and calculate a very simple network. Okay? And see how this thing responds. Okay? Okay. So page rank form a probability distribution over web pages so that a sum of page rank will be constant. In this case, you could divide by n, that will be 1. Okay? It can be calculated using a simple iterative algorithm and correspond to a principal eigenvector of the normalized link matrix of the web. In fact, you don't need to do that. You just need to do eigenvector decomposition. Okay, so it will be the same. Okay. So the assumption of the PageRank is like this. You got a random surfer. Okay, random surfer. Who is giving a web page at random? So the random surfer lands on one page. Okay, the random surfer clicking on the links of that page. It follows the link on that page, never hitting back. It always go forward. Okay, and then the server get bored and starts on another random page. Okay, and you say that it's about 5. Okay, if it's 5, is what is 5? It will be 1 in 6 basically. The ratio, one to five, and that will be about 0.15, 16%, and that's exactly what the page rank is doing. It will 1 in 5, every time you do that. The probability that a random server visits a page is its page rank. That's what it is. So what it is this. This is the key phrase right here. The probability that a random server visits a page, it is page rank. If your page rank is high, what does that say? Your random surfer, a random surfer, okay, not biased, but random surfer will actually visit, the possibility of visiting your page is high. Okay? Otherwise, it will be low. Okay? Okay? Now, obviously, if you have a page that only points out, your probability is 0. There's no way for you to actually. Okay? The de-damping factor is the probability at each page the surfer will get bored and request another random page. That's what our behavior is. Instead of a global D, okay, this is one thing that you actually could do, is that one may consider a page damping factor, DI for each individual page, or a group of pages. Ah, so, good. How actually would you actually set this D for different pages? And what attribute would you use to set this D? Can someone tell me? What do you think? Okay, what do you think? What do you think, how we can set this D? What do you think? That?
So it must be possible to base off among the outlinks,
based on the outlinks, but in what ways? What feature of the page that you could actually use to possibly set this? Outlink is one. So what do you say? The more outlinks, the
chances are that they're going to continue going on because there's more options.
There are more options. Okay, so if you have fewer links, that okay, so that's one way. What's another way of doing it? I can think of another way of doing it. What do you think? Okay, this one may involve content. Interestingness of the page.
How do you define that?
I don't know.
You can come up with a qualitative, you know, quantitative way to measure the interestingness of the page. Number of clicks or whatever, right? Or the interesting, it's the number of colors in this page or number of topics that is discussed in this page or the outlink of that page. All those things can be used to give D a different value. And by having a different value, you actually would calculate that little equation a little differently for each D, for each page, right? Okay? And that is also the way that you could actually modify that, okay? Currently, what I know is this. They are actually not one attribute now. This one's only using the hyperlink. Google uses, I think the last time I talked to Edward Chan is the, yeah, is the person who is actually in charge of research in China. I think it's right now it's up to like 200 something features that they use to do the page ranking. Okay, so it's not just the hyperlink. There are many, many factors that they weighted inside. And PageRank, in fact, is not the primary factor right now. Okay? There are other ways, more empirical, right, clicks. Okay? That's much more accurate. This one, okay, what is the problem with this one? Could this be spam? How would you span this one? How would you actually skew this one? How would you do it? How would you do it? How do you increase your page rank? Absolutely. Okay, so here's a guy who knows how to spam the thing. Right, you create a page that you know lists many many links outside, so this become actually a what? It's not an authority, but it become a hub, okay? And the hub actually would do something else, okay? So the spamming is very easy. I could create many many virtual or fake pages that points to me, right? Okay, it may be a little small topic, but each at the end of each page, it will have a link go to my website. Okay? And, you know, there is a function in Google that says crawl this page. Did you know that? Did you know that in Google? There is a, you know, you can upload your link. Okay, this, in fact, that's the way I do it. So in Google, okay, so Google, upload URL. Oh, gosh. I think it's this one. Yep. Okay. So, guys, you want to increase your page count, your page rank, right? What you do is tell Google to crawl your page. Right here. Share your place on the net with us. Company, personal page. Go ahead, put it in there, okay? There are ways to actually make your website a little higher. Meta tag, keywords and meta tags are very, very important in your website, okay? So make sure that you have the right meta tags and keywords for your page, and you can elevate that, okay? So this one is actually where you enter. You comment on it, you type this in, and then you're done. Okay? Very cool. Oh, by the way, anybody got an invitation to a Google Wave? No? Okay, I got an invitation. I have it. But they only give me 8. So I can't give out to a lot of people. This is very, very interesting. Anybody know what a Google Wave is? You know what a Google Wave is? What is it?
Quarterly email.
Okay.
Okay, this is not your grandmother's email client. Okay? So this is my Google Wave.
Oh, you have Google Wave.
I have Google Wave. I just got it like this morning, I think. Okay, if you are used to email, okay, that's kind of for the old style now. Okay? This is now the new style of getting connected. Yeah, Jimmy Lee. Right. So what happened is, okay, I'm going to show you this. Okay. So, wait a second. Can I pull this over here a little bit? Oops. I don't need this. Okay. I give you this. Huh? There you go. Okay, so here's a...
Oh, hi. I'm Greg, product manager on Google Wave in Australia. Not the part, I'm known as Dr. Wave. I'm here to enlist your help in trying out a new tool for real-time communication collaboration called...
Oh, what happened?
Google Wave.
Oh, okay. Yeah, hold on.
So, see up there where it says preview? Well, it's still going to be a little rough. But we need your help and your feedback to make this product even better. So, let me show you around. Okay, so over on the far left-hand side of the screen, there's two panels. The bottom panel is called the contact panel. You can search for contacts. If you have a contact in there, you can click on them, and then you can start a new wave with them. The upper panel is called the navigation panel. The navigation panel is a series of links, including an inbox. If you click on one of those links, it'll populate a list of waves in the search panel, which is the panel right next to you. The search panel will allow you to search for waves. But if you have a specific wave in there, you can see it'll show you some participants of the wave, the title, how many unread messages are in it, and, the last time it was updated. That brings us to the Wave panel, which is what I'm currently in a crazy video. If you wanted to create a new wave, you can do so by clicking on the New Wave button over there, but don't do it, because if you click on it, then I'm going to go. In the Wave panel, up above me, you can see a bunch of participants. Those are the only people who can actually see this wave. And if you click on that plus button, you can actually add more people so that they can choose wave too. A wave itself is a collection of messages, and we call these messages blips. You can edit blips, you can reply to blips, and if multiple people are in a wave all at the same time replying and editing blips, then you can see each other typing live. There's a lot more I'd love to tell you about. Fortunately, I'm totally out of time. So if you want to learn more, check out all the links below, and other than that, happy waving.
Okay. Okay, this is our next generation of email clients. It's actually building in the social networking capability directly right into the Wave. Okay, so I could have actually add the whole class, for example, right in here. So we could do real-time discussion, interaction, and so on and so forth right here. If I don't want it, then I'll leave that Wave out. If I want it, I could actually go into this particular Wave and talk to you guys and collaborate. Okay, collaboration, guy, is the future. That's why I actually put you two in the group. Okay, you don't do things individually. Only the test is individual. Other than that, everything is collaborative work right in here. Okay, so this is really cool feature I thought to show you, and I hope. This is a little bit against Google's thing because this is preview. I never seen actually a preview. I think a lot of beta, right? So preview is the first time. So this is actually even, I think even earlier than beta. Okay, so this is almost like an alpha, perhaps. Okay, because this is not even beta, it's preview. Anyway, this is actually the new social networking client. And I just want to tell you that social computing is here to stay. It's not gonna go away. Okay, this is the future. Everything, groupware, social connectivity, social networks, how you do things,
this is really the wave of future with multimedia, rich content, and so on and so forth. So Google took the first step in terms of getting everything into one thing easily, seamlessly, okay, and so on and so forth. I haven't really played around with it. I'll be interested in terms of seeing how this can be done, say uploading a video or audio and things like that, right? So I tape something on my iPhone. How can I get this thing into this to be able to share it with all of you guys? I want to see how that works, okay? Anybody who could actually do this effectively, efficiently, quickly, seamlessly, will win at the end, and people will use it, okay? So anyway, this is, again, a quick side tour with that. Okay, so anyway, these are the assumptions. Okay, so here's an example. So we have A, B, C right here, okay? And if a damping factor is 0.5, then it's very, how come there's only A and C? What happened to my B? What happened to my B? Huh, that's interesting. Okay, anyway, if this is D, right, we set it to be 0.5. So what does that 0.5 mean if I set this to 0.5? That means the equal chance of quitting to start another page than following the link. It's half-half, basically. Okay. The other model, you know, you click 5 times before you actually stopped and do. This one is 1 time. Okay. You could actually start a new page. So right here, to calculate A is equal to 0.5, what we have. You know, 1 minus D right here. And D times what? A? A, A, because there's only one C pointing to this, right? So this should be C. C divided by what? No. Oh. Wait, there's something wrong. Why did I do this? This should be C divided by what?
One.
Okay? I need to redo this. Sorry. And if it's B, okay, PRB is equal to 0.5 again. B would be what? Who is pointing? A. So it will be PRA divided by 2. This is actually B. Sorry. This should be B. Okay? And the C is right here. C will be this. 0.5 times 0.5 divided by what? C is pointed by A right here divided by 2. And also pointed by B, which is divided by 1, right? So this is C, okay? I'm missing A. This is actually B, or I'm missing an A. Okay. Eventually, what you will do is when you finish the calculation, you run some experiments and things like that, okay? You just keep on looping this. You will get this value. So what does it say? It says the PRC is actually the highest one, followed by A and followed by B. If you look at that, right, why do you think that C is actually, is there any reason why? Why?
Two-in
link, right. So that gives you a higher authority. A is actually the second one. Why is A like that? Why is A higher than B? A is what? Most important?
C has pointed.
Exactly. C has the highest page rank and is pointed to A. So it's actually giving A lot of high values. Okay? So in this case, B is actually the least one. Okay? Because it gets things from A. It's only one in link and one out link, which is different from C. C actually get both support from A and B. And B only get one support from A. And A is not the highest one. So, you know, a very simple thing you could actually do is you could relatively rank these things already. You know, C is the highest rank, followed by A, followed by B. Very simple, relative order. But numerically, this is what you actually would obtain. Okay? Okay. Do they mean something? 0.07, 0.... Yeah, relatively, they actually mean something. For example, these are much closer
than this one. Okay?
So you said like 20% or something like that.
Okay. Okay, the second one then is the Kleinberg's algorithm. The Kleinberg, John Kleinberg is a Cornell professor, and he has actually been doing this type of thing, small world phenomena and, you know, link analysis and all that, very, very long time. And what he says is this. Instead of one single value as a page rank, now you have two values for every page, separately calculated. Okay? Previously, one single value for page rank, right? Here, actually, I give you two. Let me give you an example. If you have something like this, right? This thing points out, okay, to these things. So, as I say, if this thing cites this particular paper, this paper is actually what? Authority. And this thing is cites out, these are the hubs. So, he says this. Instead of one single value for every node, why not make two values? And what are those two values? Hubs and authority. Okay? Each node can be a hub, and it also can be an authority. Right? When people point to you, you're the authority. The only way you don't have authority is nobody points to you, which can happen. Okay? And you could also be no hubs. That means that a page never have anything pointed out, right? You could have authority, okay? If some page point to you, but you don't have no outlink, then that will be no hub value. Your hub value is zero. Your authority value is zero when you don't point out to anything. I mean, nobody points to you, sorry, okay? Does it make sense? Okay, so web pages' importance should be depending on the search query being performed. Each page should have a separate authority rating based on the link going to that captures the quality of the page as the resource itself. And each page should also have a hub rating based on the links going from the page that captures the quality of the page's point to itself. There's a huge difference here too. These hub and authority actually are not as stationary as the page rank. These hub and authority really depends on the query that it gives. Because you cannot, in some ways, okay, this is very interesting. In some ways, you don't need to, in some ways, not everybody, for example, is an expert on social computing. So why should you have hub and authority for every single page about social computing? Okay? So different from the page rank. Page rank is really purely on hyperlink. That's it. Here is on hub and authority, but based on the query that is being given. Okay? So how does this work? Well, if it's all based on the query that is given, guess what you need then? You don't need to do this for every single page in the whole universe. But this algorithm requires something. What is that? Well, it requires what we call it a base. Okay? The HITS algorithm, hyperlink-induced topic distillation. Sounds fancy, right? HITS. Okay? Algorithm computes a list of hubs and authorities for World Wide Web search topics. You start with a search topic specific by one or more query terms. So if I were to give you social computing, you would start with that social computing words, right? You sample, the sampling stage is the first stage. Is you construct a focused collection of several thousand web pages likely to be rich, relevant authorities. Then what you do is you propagate stage. You determine the numerical estimate of hub and authority weight by iterative procedure. Okay? That's why it doesn't take the whole web and calculate its hub and authority. It doesn't make sense. It only is specific to the query terms. So if I were to give you social computing as the query term, what this will do is first it will pull out 1,000 or even 100, okay? 100 of those pages first. Then based on that, you wait, propagate the stage.
Okay. Earlier that you separate the content, right? Content and the hyperstructure is totally separated. So I could actually just match Irwin King with social computing and then just look at the page rank and do that. This thing is a little bit different. This thing is saying this. If I do social computing, I will pull out 1,000 of the first, I will pull out 1,000, okay, of those document, well, those web pages that contain social computing and use that to calculate the hub and authorities. Okay? Okay? So the pages with the highest weighting are then returned as hub, authority is that. Okay, so how do you do this? Well, the way that you do is very straightforward. Let the web be a direct graph, right? Giving a subgraph. So a subgraph is basically a subset of those things that actually fit the terms. The social computing, for example. So I could pull out those subgraph or those pages that contains the word social computing, right? The authority of hub updated as follows. If a page is pointed to by many GitHub hubs, okay, then we would like to increase its authority weight. Okay? So basically, this is much more simpler than the other one. Oasis is this, okay, is the, Q links to that. Okay, so X, let's see, page pointing by many, okay. Authority value X, it basically is summing up equal to the summation of all the hub value that points to. That's it. And guess what? It's symmetrical here. Its hub value is equal to what? Summation of all the authority value that points to. That's it. Okay, that's it. The above can be rewritten in a matrix notation. So now you have a matrix notation here. Okay, so X, this is the matrix that you have. Then X, A transpose times Y, and that's what you get. Okay, and that's it. Just do it right there. Okay, now,